So if you have a Bible or a phone with a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 13. Turn on your Bible or turn in your Bible, either one. On March the 22nd of this year, a terrorist attack took place in the vicinity of the Palace of Westminster in London, the seat of the British Parliament. The attacker drove a car into pedestrians on the pavement along the south side of the bridge, injuring more than 50 people and killing four. After the car crashed into the perimeter fence of the palace grounds, the attacker abandoned it and ran into the new palace yard, where he fatally stabbed an unarmed police officer and then was shot by an armed police officer and died at the scene. On May the 22nd, 2 months later, a suicide bomber detonated a shrapnel-laden homemade bomb at the exit of Manchester Arena in Manchester, England, following a concert by American singer Ariana Grande. 23 adults and children were killed and 119 were injured. On June the 3rd, 2017, an attack took place in Southwark District of London when a van mounted the pavement of London Bridge and drove into pedestrians. The van crashed and the three male occupants ran into the nearby Borough Market pub and started stabbing people. Just recently, on June the 14th, the 24-story Grenfell Tower in Kensington, West London, caught on fire. You may have seen that recently. Just this morning, the news had said that maybe the 50 or so people who are unaccounted for, they presume, died as well as the others. The fire broke out about 1 a.m., The blaze started on one side of the building, swept across the building, engulfed the building in flames. And after I wrote this sermon, you heard about the city we used to live in Jiangsu province, Xuzhou, Jiangsu, the kindergarten. 22-year-old decided to blow up in front of a kindergarten, and on and on and on the stories go. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we live in a world that my father and my grandfather did not live in. A world where it seems terror and disaster, and tragedy strikes frequently and at any moment. But we thank you that you are our rock, that we can place our feet firmly on you, and nothing can shake us, even though the world gives way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I haven't done this before. We were preaching through the book of Mark, and strangely enough, it's Father's Day. I was working on a Father's Day message, and it just wasn't clicking. It just wasn't happening, and so I spent a lot of time praying to the Lord and asking Him, and the Lord led me in another direction. Sometimes it happens, most of the time it doesn't, but sometimes it happens. I've been really shocked and disturbed by some of the things I've seen on the news these days. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that a preacher should have his Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other, because we don't need to be so disconnected from what's going on in the world around us, that preaching sermons about life, but not forgetting that the life we live in is happening all around us. But it seems that disaster, tragedy, and terror is happening everywhere around us. And maybe because of social media, I don't know, but it seems like it's happening at a more rapid pace, faster and faster. But by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, Hong Kong has yet to see anything like this happen. But I sincerely hope that it doesn't. But we know that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we never know. We never know when something might happen in the world. But what we do know is we have a rock, Almighty God, to stand on, even though the earth gives way, whether it's an earthquake or whether it's a storm of life, whether it's, I find out today I've got cancer like my father in 6 weeks to live, the earth shakes, your world falls apart, what do you do? Our ultimate hope is in eternal life offered to us through Jesus Christ, because we believe in Him. So this morning, I want to simply ask Jesus in the Bible what He would say about things like this happening. What would God say? What would Jesus Christ, who is God, what would He say about these kinds of things happening? Tragedy, disaster, terror. Well, in Luke chapter 13, He gives us an answer. People asked Jesus pretty much the same question. There were some present at that very time who told Him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And He answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" Verse 3, "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom that tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, unless you turn to God, you will all likewise perish. What does the Lord have to say to us today through this passage? These are two historical events that really happened. The first one happened to some Galileans. We're not exactly sure when it was or who it was. It could have been a revolt against the Romans at that time, during the time of Pilate. But some Galileans were killed by the Romans. Pilate, the governor of Judea at that time, had in some way killed these people and then taken their blood and put it together with the sacrifices that the Jews offered in a way to offend them and to make a statement. Now, I know maybe some of you are thinking, do we have to talk about this morning, blood and killing? Well, probably you watch some Netflix and movies and things like this that do these kinds of things, so probably not any worse than what the Bible is saying. So some of these Galileans were killed by Pilate. It was a tragedy. It was an act of terror. It was something brutal. The second one is a disaster that happened. All we know is some kind of tower, like a minaret of some kind, in Jerusalem, on the outskirts of Jerusalem, in Siloam, it fell. Some kind of project was going on, and it fell, and a lot of people died. Much like the tower caught on fire here in London, and a lot of people lost their lives. So what was it? What's going on here? The first thing we need to see in this passage is this. The people who died in both events, at the hand of Pilate and at the Tower of Siloam, were not worse than other people. That may sound kind of strange to say. They weren't worse than other people. Jesus says it himself. Jesus says, do you not think, or he says, do you think that these Galileans who died were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, they weren't. Or those 18 people on whom that tower fell in Siloam, do you think that they were worse offenders than other people living in Jerusalem? Jesus in both cases says, no, I tell you, they weren't. They weren't worse. So maybe some kind of Buddhist idea, some kind of at that time, this idea that, oh, people did believe this, and hopefully you don't believe this morning. If you do believe this, then you will see from the Word of God that this is not true. But if something happens to someone, it's not because they were necessarily worse than everybody else. Oh, you see? You see what happened to them? They were worse than everybody else, and that's why that happened. Jesus says, don't think that. Don't think that they were worse than everybody else. All the other Galileans weren't just the same. All the other people in Jerusalem were just the same. So we shouldn't think about it that way, that when something happens, like this tower happening, burning, that should we say, oh, they were really bad people. That's why that happened. Is it because they were really bad people? Well, yes and no. Secondly, the people who died by the hands of Pilate and the Tower of Siloam did die because they were sinners and offenders. I find it very interesting that Jesus, he doesn't say that they're worse sinners or worse offenders than all the others, but he does say they were sinners and offenders. Did you notice that in the passage? He calls them sinners and offenders. That made my brain start really thinking. Well, sinners and offenders against who? Offend who? Someone dies by a tower falling on them, why would you call them an offender? Who have you offended? All sinners, all are sinners, and all are offenders. Now, you may not think that's very applicable today, but it is crucial and it's very necessary that we get this right. Here's why. The truth is, most people in the world do not think they're sinners. Most people think they're good. Most people in the world would say, I'm a good person. I'm not a sinner, and I haven't offended anyone. Well, that's not the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Bible is that every one of us are sinners, and every one of us have offended God. So I can hear some of my friends say, I'm not really a sinner, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a likable fellow. Romans 3:23. This is what the Bible says. This is not what I say. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So we're all born in sin. You're not... Just so everybody gets this, you're not born good. You were not born good. Adam and Eve were born good, but they sinned, and so everyone after them is not born good and then learns to sin. You were born in sin with a propensity and a desire to sin. We have a sin nature. Our nature is bent toward sin. But most people think they're not that bad. Hebrews 9:27 says, says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Well, why do I say this? Because death is a product of sin. Death is a product of the fall. It will happen to every one of us. So everyone who died by the tower falling on them, every one of the Galileans who Jesus was talking about died, everyone who died in London, everyone who died at the kindergarten in Suzhou, died because of sin. Because we're all sinners and we're all going to die. Whoever or whenever it happens, it's because you were born in sin and because you have a sin nature. If you had no sin, you wouldn't die. If you didn't have any sin, then you wouldn't be dying. God is not just or unkind in any way when any disaster or tragedy happens in the world, a terrorist attack or whatever. God is not unjust or unjust in any way because all of us are sinners and we don't deserve anything good from God. We all deserve death. Wow, very difficult. Number three. So they did not die because they were worse, but they did die because they were sinners and offenders. But the Bible says in this passage, he says there are two types of dying. There's a type of dying called perishing, and that is different than just dying. Here's what I mean. Go back and look at the passage. Look at the passage. Look what Jesus says. He says in verse 3, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then in verse 5, he says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, he cannot mean that if you repent, you won't ever die. Meaning, if you become a Christian, if you turn to Jesus Christ, if you turn away from your sins, then you'll never die. Then you'll never die physically. That's not what he means. He cannot and doesn't mean that. He must mean something else. So what does he mean? He means all will die somehow or someday. But if you repent, you won't perish. If you don't repent, if you don't turn to God, you will perish. Now, what does the Bible mean by this term perishing? Now, this may sound like really, really bad news, but I want you to understand that there is a condition. Probably the best word in all of that text is unless. Unless. Because if conditional, you do this, then this won't happen. So you see the mercy and the goodness of God, that if you do something, then this will not happen. And that's good news. Let's look at a couple of verses. Let the Bible answer some questions for us. I gave you this a minute ago. For the wages of sin is death. We mentioned that, right? But the free gift of God, free gift. Don't you like free gifts? Free to you. But it costs something. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 11:25-26, you may be thinking of this verse already. Jesus said to her, Mary, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." It's two kinds of death. Normal physical death and a death called perishing. "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, wait a minute. I thought we all die, but Jesus is saying if you believe in me, then you won't die. He means you won't die spiritually forever. And probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, what is it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Dying for the person, listen very closely, dying for the physical death, whether it's in an airplane crash or cancer or dying in your sleep or a tower falling on you or a terrorist attack or whatever, dying for the person who believes in Jesus Christ is simply passing on to eternal life with Jesus. To be with Jesus forever and ever. And it doesn't matter how or when it happens. For those who have repented, who've turned away from their sinful life and have embraced Jesus Christ, death is nothing. It's just like falling asleep, and you get to go be with Jesus forever. But dying for those who don't repent, who say, I'm going to live my life the way I want it. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to be my own God. I'm in control here. You won't tell me what to do or how to live my life. Then what you experience is called perishing, an eternal separation from God forever and ever in a place called hell. Not what you wanted to hear on Father's Day. Let me summarize the main points like this. All of us will die physically because of sin. How someone dies doesn't mean that they are worse than someone else. Those who repent and believe in Jesus will not perish. They'll pass on to heaven. Those who don't repent or believe in Jesus will perish. Now, I want to make a clarifying statement. What is Jesus really saying here? What's he really saying here? Jesus is showing that the real issue we should be concerned with, the real issue that we, meaning everyone in this world, should be concerned with, isn't physical death, but spiritual death. Spiritual death. You see, listen, if in this world, the devil can blind everyone to just thinking life is about making money and working and having cars and enjoying your life and going on vacation and then, trying to keep yourself healthy so you don't physically die someday. He can keep us focused on that. Then he's blinded us and we're not worried about eternal life. We're blinded to the real crucial issues of life. Life goes on for everyone. The question is where does it go on? So, I started out saying, I wanted to say something about how do we in this world think about terrorism, tragedy, disaster, these kinds of things happening? Because let's be honest, okay? I'm watching these things in London and I'm going, hey, am I going to go down to Central this week? Go down to Central this week or Admiralty or lots of places? Happens everywhere else in the world. Happens in America, happens in London, happens in Suzhou, Jiangsu province. What's going to happen if it happens? Well, here's some beautiful, beautiful words from Jesus. Luke chapter 12, just one chapter before. Look at these wonderful, wonderful, comforting words. Listen, I'll be honest with you. If I don't have this word, if I don't have this word from Jesus, I don't feel comfortable walking down the streets of the world. If I don't have this security, if I don't believe in an almighty God who's taking care of me, I'm not going to feel comfortable walking down the streets. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. Is that clear? Do not fear those who kill the body. And after that, have nothing more they can do. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, tomorrow I've got to go downtown and I'm gone. He says, don't be afraid of that. You know why? Because I know Jesus. There's nothing can happen to me. Do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And then he gives this wonderful statement. Are not five little tiny sparrows? Anybody have sparrows at your house? We have sparrows at our house. They like to make their nest against the side of the house out of mud. My neighbors have a lot of them. He says, are not five little sparrows sold for 2 pennies? That's nothing. They cost nothing. They're just nothing. Just little, five little birds for 2 pennies. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them is forgotten before God. Are not five zanlang? Nothing. Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Listen to this, verse 7. He says, why? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. The hairs of your head have serial numbers on them. I think scientists have actually figured out that the strands of hair has DNA that are all have a certain code to them. I'm not a scientist. Most of you are. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. He says, fear not. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. What's Jesus saying? What's Jesus saying? He's saying God is almighty. God is sovereign. And if you know him, you have nothing to fear. He's got you taken care of. He's got you under control. You can walk into the most dangerous environment anywhere in the world. But if it's not your time, nothing's going to happen to you. And if you're a believer in Jesus, then you're not going to perish. So you can go to sleep tonight, not worried about the whole mountain at my house, landslide down on our whole village. Last night it was raining so hard, I was thinking, you know, maybe this whole mountain behind my house could just come and just destroy. By the way, I'm not that paranoid, okay? I'm just thinking it can happen, but I slept fine last night, relatively fine. If you're a believer in Jesus, you don't have to worry. But if you're not a believer in Jesus, he says, fear him. Fear him. It doesn't mean like, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God. It's fear him in such a way that you say, please, save me. Well, lastly, if number one, we should not fear because we know who's in control. Number two, we should echo We should echo. We should echo this message to other people. And what is the message? The message is, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. That was the message of Jesus from the beginning. That was the message of John the Baptist before Jesus. That's the gospel. May God break our hearts. Listen, I'm afraid my heart's not broken. I'm afraid my heart is not broken to the point that it needs to be. If I really understood the eternal consequences of the souls around me, would my heart not break? But we just don't care that people are perishing as much as we should. Do we dare this morning to ask God to make us care? God, do what you got to do in me to where I care and give the message to other people that say, man, turn to God, don't perish, because anything can happen. Maybe you're like me, you only go so far as to tell people that you're not going to perish because you believe in Jesus, but it's another thing to tell someone else that they need to repent. Would you pray that for me? Because even though I preach this message, I want to live the message. Pray that for me, that I will care so much that when I see the reality of things like this taking place in the world around us, that I will say, God, don't let me turn a blind eye to that. Don't let me see these things on the news and just kind of block it out of my mind. And just say, well, that's over there. It's not going to happen to me. Not going to happen to my neighbors. Not going to happen to my city. But instead, that will motivate me and motivate you to where we will have the heartbeat of God and the message of God to say to other people, look, man, turn. Turn away from your sinful life. God loves you. He gave His Son. And if you believe in Him, you won't perish. Well, happy Father's Day. Maybe the message for you on Father's Day is just to be more serious about serious things. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, You are our hiding place. If I go to the depths of the sea, You are there. If I go to the highest heaven, if I go to the far side of the moon, You are there. If all my friends and family forsake me, You are there. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? So shall life or death, shall tribulation or sword, shall anything separate us from the love of God? No. So Lord, I pray this morning, take any words that I've said this morning that have been beneficial for Your church and let them sink in. Anything I've said this morning that's been my words and not been beneficial, let it be forgotten. And I pray if there's anyone here today who doesn't know You, that today would be the day that they would find You as their rock. And I pray for all of us believers that today our feet would be firmly planted a little more securely on the rock of ages that was cleft for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing this great hymn, You Are My Hiding Place.
always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Now may the Lord rescue you from every evil deed and bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.